wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first Robin Pod of 2024. I'm delighted to introduce a guest that I'm sure you're all very familiar with, former Robin Pod host and Hull Live Hull Kings and Rovers reporter, Joe Appleyard. Welcome to the show once again, Joe.
Oh, it's great to be on, mate. I feel like we're back in COVID time setting up the podcast, a new name, new rebrand, but you know, delighted to be back on, mate. You know, I've followed it for the last 2 years since I left the podcast and went to Hull Live, and it's great to be back on speaking about the Robins.
Yeah, lots and lots to talk about on this first podcast of 2024. And I'd like to just to wish a very special Happy New Year to Budget Tyres Auto Centre, who have decided to continue back in the podcast in 2024. Great guys down there. Remember, membership. Rovers membership holders, you get 10% discount on your works, anything you need doing. So you get great service, you get a little bit of money off, and it is the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials, and supporters of Hull Kings and Rovers. So Happy New Year, Budget Tyres Auto Centre. Joe, I mean, you couldn't have made it up. Major story breaking this morning about Jordan Abdul. The club confirmed it this afternoon. He's departing on a season-long loan deal to the Catalan Dragons. What's your initial reaction to that?
I mean, we could do a full episode just on Jordan Abdul, couldn't we? I was ready for a steady episode talking about reporting and buzzing for 2024, and then this happens. It's typical Rovers and typical rugby league. But do you know what? When you're in a circle and you hear certain things, and then you come out of it and you're kind of out the loop, you kind of forget about stuff. And then there's been a few rumours, haven't they, on social media? Willie Peters saying about what he needs to do in pre-season. Rovers putting photos on of him, you know, and people saying, is that a bit of a cryptic message? And then it comes out from, you know, my former employer as well, Matt Shaw, that he was leaving for Catalan Dragons. There's pros and cons to this. I'm not surprised though, mate. You know, you're bringing in Tyrone May, who I'm sure we'll speak about soon. You look at his injury records, you look at certain aspects of his game that he struggled with, and it's come out the blue for certain people, but for me, I'm surprised it's a season-long loan with no recall. I think that's the big thing to talk about here. Rovers can't get him back, and it's kind of like, right, you've gone now. You know, there's no option to bring you back now, so you're not an Hull Kingston Rovers player. But it's been a bit of a hectic year, hasn't it, for Abdul? He starts the season like a house on fire. He's man of steel. People are talking about him leading England in the Tonga series. Then he picks up an injury, comes back, gets a three-year deal, and then gets injured again. And then he plays a bit of a part bit on the bench. But I think what everyone's talking about is you look at that season record since he signed. I think the most he's played is 16 games. And yeah, on his day is destructive. On his day as an England international, he's in the top three halfbacks in the country. But the money he'll be on, the linchpin that he is, you need them players out there. And I think Willie Peters needs a halfback pairing that he can build around. Of course, Willie's come from the NRL and he trains like the NRL and he plays like the NRL. They very rarely change the six and seven. And I think what he wants to do now is he's got Mikey Lewis, who's the number six or seven, whatever you want to call it, for the next five, hopefully 10 years. And then he's brought in Tyrone May, proven winner, who I can't wait to see him red and white. And probably Abdul was that third choice. And I know if we'd have done this show yesterday and Abdul had still been a Rovers player, and we'll do our strongest 17 later in the show, he wasn't in my 17, and he's probably not been in Willie Peters's. But to go to Catalan Dragons, it's a big move. I understand why fans are frustrated, because it's a Super League rival. He's still technically a Rovers player and he's going to be playing maybe against Rovers, and I'm sure he'll do well over there if he can stay fit. But let's trust Willie Peters in this scenario, because we've seen so many times. Look, when Reece Kennedy went, then the Sanjar Whitbread, you know, there was been plenty of decisions letting the likes of Will Dagger go, bringing Corey Hall in. And I think it's a long process. And Willie Peters is building his squad now. It's going to take 2 or 3 years, but it's a massive, massive news when an England international leaves the club on a loan deal. That doesn't happen often, does it? So, I mean, let's wait and see. I do think they'll bring someone else in. You know, like, I'm not in the inner circle anymore, so people don't start speculating, thinking they're going to sign a halfback just because I've said they think they might. But I hope they do. I think they need the third choice now, because, of course, Rowan Milnes has gone to Cass. Young Jack Potter, he was released from his contract. He's gone to York. So they are very light in the halfback area. Of course, people can shuffle about. I've seen people talking about Jez Litton, but for me, Jez is an out-and-out nan, and I think it proved earlier in the season he did a good job, but it's putting people in the wrong positions, isn't it? So let's wait and see. But yeah, it's a really strange one. He's a bit of an enigma, isn't he, Jordan Abdul? On his day, he's amazing, but you just don't get enough out of him. And you never know, he could go to Catalan, have a new lease of life, come back and be in red and white again. But for me personally, at the moment, I just can't see a way he pulls on a red and white shirt again.
No, he joined the Robins initially on loan back in 2017. Joined the club permanently in 2019. He's gone on to make 60 appearances for the Red and Whites. This is what Willie Peters said upon announcing that he joined the Catalan Dragons. Jordan and I sat down and had a good, honest conversation of where he was at, both on and off the field. During the conversation, we discussed the opportunity for Jordan to join Catalan Dragons that was on the table. After a few days of reflection, Jordan chose to take up the opportunity with Catalans, and we will not stand in his way. So it's very much Jordan Abdul deciding to uproot and leave the Robins and go experience a season of Super League in the south of France, which, you know, very difficult to stand in anybody's way. You can understand now why supporters, Joe, though, might be a little bit bitter that he got a fresh two-year deal earlier on in the season, much to many supporters' maybe surprise, you know, based on his injury record. I think you mentioned it, Joe, about how many games he's played. Well, 2020, he played 12 games. 2021, 16 games. 2022, 13 games. Last season, he made 14 appearances. You know, quite simply, you have a player of his calibre and talent, and a player who probably commands a decent salary, just not out on the pitch enough. Was you surprised when he got that new deal earlier on in the 2023 season?
Yeah, I was, to be honest with you. I understood why, in a way, because at the time there was no Tyro May, was there? And Rowan Milnes was still a Rovers player. But yeah, I think the point to make here is you've got to trust Willie, haven't you? Because he's offered him this contract. He nails his colours to the mast because he's allowed him to go, and the book falls at him, doesn't it? So, but fair play to him to have the bottle as a coach to get rid of a big-name halfback. I know it seems like it's Jordan's decision as well, but he takes all the cop, doesn't he, at the end of the day? And yeah, he's obviously offered him a deal. It hasn't really worked out. He's not a young man anymore, is he? So I've seen people going, oh, it's good to go get him some fitness and that. But they're a Super League rival at the end of the day. You don't let him go to Catalan. I know Rovers and Catalan have got a really good relationship because there have been plenty of loan deals, haven't they, back and forth in the past few years. But yeah, I think maybe he could, if he'd reverse it, he probably could. But Rovers aren't scared to terminate contracts. And I'm not saying they'll terminate Jordan's contract, but they've done it in the past with players. Willie's let people go. And I think Paul Sewell, Neil Udgell, Paul Aiken, they're backing Willie. And whatever he says, the kind of he gets. And I think that's what you need. You want that coach to have that authority. And he wants to play the Hulk KR way, the Willie Peters Hulk KR way. And then if people don't want to align to that, it's okay. You can move on and we'll get somebody else in. I don't think there'll be any grudges held. There's been plenty of players who have left. Look at Frankie Alton, people like that. I don't think there's massive, massive fallouts. It's just a case of if you don't want to be here and work and fight for your place or whatever the reason is, they want a fresh start. Willie wants people who want to play for Rovers 100%, and that might not be the case here. So let's wait and see what Jordan Abdul does. I'm sure it won't be the last in this saga that we hear about. Of course, he's contracted at Rovers for another few seasons. Anyhow, I'm sure there'll be a contract clause in there that Steve Mack might want to get Jordan Abdul full-time if he starts linking up well there. And I think for Jordan, Catalan are part of a transition, aren't they? They're in a period now where they've lost Sam Tompkins, they've lost Mitchell Pearce, they're bringing up the young French lads like Arthur Morgan, that, and Jordan will come in there and probably be the orchestra in that attacking line. So it'll be interesting to see. And I think what I'm more interested to see is if he can play against Hull KR, because of course we play him like we always do. We play him three times in 2024. I don't think it'd be the right call if he could play, but you never know in rugby league. Sometimes these clauses don't get activated, do they? So, you know, let's wait and see. And on the topic of that, let's see if Hull Kingston Rovers bring in anyone or a few players with that now, because there's certainly some salary cap space there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what reception he did get if he did play. We've heard from Willie Peters, Steve McNamara, upon Catalans announcing the signing of Jordan Abdul. He said the addition of Jordan significantly improves both our depth and options for 2024. He's one of the most naturally gifted players in the competition, who I believe will flourish both on and off the field in Perpignan. Joe, something I picked up on, and Steve Mack and Willie Peters both said it, on and off the field, Do you think there's anything off the field that's been going on in the background that's maybe pushed him to want to go and get a fresh start in the south of France?
Oh, possibly. You hear rumours and that, don't you? But I don't think we're in a position to speculate and say what A, B and C's happened and that. I think there's stuff in everyone's personal lives, isn't there? You can probably reel off every Super League player and they're all going through difficult stuff. But I don't know. I think there's probably a thousand things that's contributed to this, and ultimately at the end of the day he's gone for a fresh challenge and Rovers aren't begrudging him. So I think you look at the here and now, he is a Rovers player, isn't he? But he's not, and we've got to kind of move away from it. You can't dwell on it too much. You look at the halfback pairing that we're probably going to have, really exciting. They've had time to gel, you know, Tyro Mays coming in and Mikey Lewis, and I just think Mikey's getting better and better, and he's the future and the current of this whole Kingston Rovers side. And I think Tyro and people who were speculating he was going to play all over the park, I think after today's departure, you know he's going to be that number six, don't you? So I do think Rovers need to bring in somebody else though. Now, I'm not, you know, they're not going to break the bank, and they haven't got any quarter players, of course. There's not many people on the market. They've got a dual reg with Featherstone. Did they use that option? I know they've got a few halfbacks there that they just use them if they want them. Willie's got plenty of options, but I do think just depth wise as well, I count it. Obviously, you've got the young lads as well, but you look at recognised players, probably about 27 now. You look at the shirt numbers that Rovers have used over the past 4 or 5 years, and that exceeds 27 probably by round two, doesn't it? So I do think that they're a bit short. I think there was anyhow, and I'd like to have signed a few players. They should now. It's opened that door. I don't know what the cap space is. I don't know what Abdul's new contract was figure-wise, but for me, there's certainly enough money there to not break the bank and bring in a superstar. I don't think that's the case. But if you can bring in one or two players to bulk up the squad, albeit probably an half-back in another position, then we'll see. And it might be worthwhile. And in the long run, it might be a really good decision, not just for Jordan Abdul, but for Hull Kingston Rovers. And yeah, what will be. I think we have to move on now and plan for life without him, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he started the season like a house on fire. He was leading the Man of Steel points for so long. I mean, even when he wasn't playing, he was still seemed to be in the top three of the Man of Steel. It was crazy for him to be doing that for so long. I do wonder, though, if the subsequent injury to John Abdul and then the arrival of Brad Schneider and his relative success in the red and white of all Kingston Rovers maybe gave supporters a bit of a glimpse of a different type of halfback and maybe someone who added a little bit more balance, because Mikey Lewis seemed to flourish once Schneider came in, and as a partnership, them two seemed to work really well. I'm not saying that Abdul and Lewis didn't work, but as the season progressed, there's no doubt that Lewis seemed to benefit from Schneider and his ability to marshal the troops, maybe a little bit different to how Jordan Abdul does. And I wonder if that's maybe give supporters a bit of a glimpse at what type of halfback we might need to get the best out of Mikey Lewis and not just, you know, Jordan Abdul or whatever plays it is his partner.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Abdul's done some absolutely wonderful things for Rovers, but you look at that team that got Rovers to Wembley and should have won at Wembley. You know, we haven't spoke about that, have we, me and you personally, but should have done the job in London that day, and it kind of fell away in the semi-final. There was without Jordan Abdul for the most of it. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Willie was an halfback as well, and he knows that playmaker role inside out. He's bringing a new coaching staff. He's got Danny Ward and stuff. You don't know what happens in-house there. And like you said there, Chris Schneider offered something a little bit different. Obviously, he was never going to stay long term, but you've kind of opened your eyes and seen a bit of a different partnership. And I think with what Tyro May is going to offer, it reminds me a lot of Paul Cook. He does, not just because in stature, the way he takes it to the line, his short kicking game. People have been worried about losing Abdul's kicking game. I kind of can counter that and think, do you know what? If you look in the last 3-4 months of the season, Mikey's got a bomb on him now. Mikey's been, must have been doing that in training, because he's been great with the high bombs. May's short kicking game really excites me. So there is that balance, you know, Petterick who can come out the back and maybe add a kick in as well. So they'll find a way. They've got to. They've made this decision. Will it change the game plan? Maybe, maybe not, because they had to cope without Abdul for large Shunker last season. But yeah, I think May and Abdul are very similar in a way, but do offer something different. And I think that him and Mikey, I know I keep raving on about it, but they're the ones to watch for me. If we can keep them two fit, and as it stands, they're probably the only two recognised halves in the team. Hopefully we get a backup there. But if them two can gel quickly with this new look spam, then I think Rovers' attack can go to a new level now, because they sorted the majority of the defence out last season, but still bits of the attack needed improving for me. And I think now that we've moved on from the Kenny Dowland Lynette era, it's going to be a new look look attack and maybe some different tactics coming in with the ball in hand. So we'll see.
Yeah, and we did see towards the back end of last season when John Abdul did come back from injury. For me, sort of looked a little bit lost. He couldn't quite find a position for him. And, obviously he got him out on the pitch and he had that, that chaos factor where, he could almost make anything happen. But he didn't look fit. He didn't look fit when he was playing. And it was almost, not desperation, but it was almost like trying to get all your best players out on the pitch at the same time and see what can happen. And it didn't look like the writing was on the wall, but it looked like John Abdul had a long way to go to really stake a claim for the first team shirt this season, especially after the announcement of Tyrone May.
I think barring that little 20-minute spell at Huddersfield, won it when he came on and did two, scored a try, got an assist, and it was like, right, Jordan Abdul's back. And then after that, yeah, he struggled for minutes, didn't he? I think because of the injuries to obviously Jesse Soudeen, Adley picked up a few HIAs at the back end of the year, didn't he, as well? So he was kind of playing Abbo on the bench and bringing him on as a loose man and moving Mini to the prop role. But yeah, he didn't look comfortable, did he? And sometimes too many cooks spoil the broth. And I remember at times when Abdul was in there with Schneider and Lewis, yeah, do some good things, but then it'd be like, right, who's the chief here and who's the Indians? And I think it would be hard to make, especially with the way rugby's going with these new rules and the way Rovers like to play with dominating the pack and having a fast ruck with Matt Parcell and Jez, carrying Jez or Matt Parcell on the bench and then a Jordan Abdul and then just two middles. For me, I don't like that personally. I like to run with Jez and or Matt on the bench and then the three forwards who can offer utility, and then you're out and out middles who will obviously be like Sadeen Adley and Sam Luckley again this season. So it was always going to be tough. Don't get me wrong, it had always been in my 21. But he wants first team rugby. I think he turns 28 this year, so he's entering his prime and he's a halfback. And you look at players who go to certain clubs, and they look at Tom Johnson, who he couldn't bag a full season at Wakefield, goes to the south of France, plays every single game, earns an England spot, and he's looking at coming back to the UK next season. And if I was Willie Peters, I'd be all over him, and I'd be all over his mate.
I was going to say there, Joe, is that the Tom Johnson who's rumoured to be replacing Ryan Hall at the at the end of the 2024?
I've heard Tom Johnson, Tom Burgess and Mike McMeekin, and that's all been the space.
As long as you haven't heard Tom Jones, that's...
I am at all. But I'm sure Rovers would be daft not to be in for him, wouldn't he? But I'm sure that's in for another day. But yeah, you look at players who move to different clubs, sorry to go back to my point, and you think, oh, they're injury prone, and then they go and rip it up, don't they? So, of course, Catalan and Jordan Abdul will be hoping that. I'm not wishing an injury on him, but it'll be frustrating from a Rovers point of view if he goes over there and plays 28, 30 games next season, won't it? So let's just wait and see. But, wish him all the best, don't you? But it's just frustrating that it's not worked out at Hull Kingston Rovers, and it's surprising. I'm sure we'll never know the full story, but yeah, you just got to move on, look ahead and plan for Sheffield in a few weeks without him in the rest of the season and maybe the rest of his career if it goes to probably what I'm expecting.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the comments on social media about John Abdul going to Catalan and from a selfish point of view, people making the point that we're hoping to be competing with Catalan, we're hoping to be better than Catalan next season, and we've gone and loaned them a real top talent. Does that strengthen our rival, and should we be in that business, or does it not matter? I suppose rugby league, the player pool's very small, isn't it? We don't have the luxury of being able to keep a player in the squad who's maybe commanding a decent salary but won't be getting out on the pitch, and I suppose it does free up space, doesn't it, to bring somebody else in. So yeah, it might strengthen Catalan, but it gives us the opportunity to strengthen as well.
Of course it does. You look at last year when Rovers announced their squad numbers, and then you look who that team was at the back end of the year, and you look at the players who came in, even for one game, the like of, what was his name, Cesar Ogier and people like that. You'd have never expected them lot to sign for Rovers, would you? So it'll probably be the same again. Rovers kind of, and Willie's built up, hasn't he, over there every single month. He's kind of been brought someone in or got rid of someone, kind of planning his perfect team, and it's going to take time, and some people are going to get cut and some big names are going to get cut. We look at when Frankie Elton got rid, everyone was calling Willie and saying, what's he doing? He didn't know what he's doing. And then you know, Frankie goes and doesn't have the best season at Lee, and you kind of move on, don't you? And rugby is a bit of a fickle game. You'll be Jordan Abdul's biggest fan, and then in a few weeks' time, we're all wearing Tyrone May shirts and thinking about the future halfback combination. So let's just see. I'm sure Rovers have got some names that the one, you know, Matt Shaw's put an article today, and he's saying they're back in the market. Who that will be with no quota players and limited resources over here to get will be interesting. But again, Rovers aren't afraid to splash the cash, if you want to call it. They'll buy people out of their contracts if they probably want. You know, they've got the money to, aren't they? So if they want to be up there and they want to be this team that's competing for trophies, I do think they need a little bit more depth because, of course, the injury record at Craven Park isn't the best. But yeah, it's been a surprising day, a big day of obviously news and things like that. But it'll probably be yesterday's chip paper, won't it, tomorrow, and we'll move on and there'll be another story and another rumour and another link like there is in rugby league. It's just the beauty of January when you're leading into pre-season in the game. Something always chaotic happens, and just a shame that it's all Kingston Rovers this time.
Yeah, well, we are the Man City Rugby League, aren't we? So, you know,
Joel, I'm still getting over that. It wasn't me who even said that. It was Mr. Sewell himself, but apparently I called him that, so I'm still living off that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Joe, it does leave a bit of a hole in the squad, doesn't it? And you know, I'm going to paint a scenario here. Imagine we don't bring anybody in. Tyrone May gets injured in the Sheffield game, and then all of a sudden we line up for the first game of the season, short of a halfback, who lands up next to Michael Lewis in that scenario?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because you're already, you're thinking, right, do you put Nala Valds at fullback? Do you put Petterico in the half? But that's just putting square pegs in round holes, isn't it? It's a perfect Jez, but then would Butterworth come onto the bench? You've got options to call it, but you ain't got to recognise that. And I think Willie will know that, won't he? And that's the thing. That's why people are worried. But you've still got 6 or 7 weeks until we play at the MKM Stadium. And being honest, if a third choice halfback comes in, they're not going to be playing at the MKM Stadium because hopefully Mikey and May will be ready to rip in from round one. But yeah, it does leave a little bit of a worry. But I think there's no point worrying at the moment because transfers happen so quickly in the sport. And You never know what might happen. In 3 weeks' time, Rovers might have an halfback and they might have somebody else in, or they might not. But there's plenty of time. But Rovers do need to dip into the market now, I think. Just for a bit of cover. Just for a bit of cover. I'm not saying break the bank.
Yeah, I mean, that's my gut feeling, Joe, is that the won't have allowed Jordan Abdul to leave without having some idea of who's going to come in to replace him. Because, you know, you've been closer to the club, obviously, over the past season, and they're not daft, are they? They're quite
astute in
what they do, and a lot of the deals they make are calculated. You mentioned Reece Kennedy, you know, the uproar about him departing. Well, you know, the next cab off the rank was already agreed and to come in and replace him. And you'd imagine there's some irons in the fire now. What their irons might be, because it is a limited market, what they're playing in. I mean, one of the left field suggestions I've seen, and I think you mentioned it earlier, was the dual reg with Featherstone. Of course, they signed Ben Reynolds from Lee. You know, he's still only 29, I think, so he's still a good age. And whether we look to utilise that, I mean, that would be left field, wouldn't it? Normally with dual reg, you don't go the other way. And of course, AJ Wallace, he's lining up for Featherstone. He's been named in the squad to take on. Is it Bradford at the weekend?
Yes.
A pre-season friendly, so there's already a bit of movement there. Whether Featherstone would want to lose one of their star players to let him come to the Robins is a different thing. But what we've seen with Willie Peters and this old Kingston Rovers side with a club, they're not afraid to do the things a bit differently.
No, they're not, and I think it's hard to get used to, isn't it? Because being a fan as well, and we have been for so many years, you do get used to Rovers being a certain club, and I think Willie's come in and changed that whole persona for the better. I must add, not just off on the field, but I think off the field as well. And yeah, they're not afraid. They're not afraid to make these big calls. The light being in the limelight, like, people like talking about them, don't they? And I think there's a reason why, because people are kind of standing up and taking note of Rovers now. I know they've been gradually building on the field, but I think the most impressive thing is what's happening off the field and what will happen in the next, hopefully, 5-10 years off the field. They want to become a top four club regularly and they want to start lifting trophies, but it's the business that they're doing and it's the partnerships that they're making. Bringing in this power board, I think, is a stroke of genius. The likes of James McNichol, Kilburn, Sewell, you name it. You know, these are all power heads of the business world, and eventually I do think that'll pay off for the Robins. And yeah, Willie's got the full backing of them, and as we go back to when we reiterate too, let's just wait and see what Willie's got in store, because he's not afraid to let people go, and he's not afraid to spend the money and bring people in. And sometimes they are left field calls, but most times, I know he's in a been in charge a year, and you know, he's got a few years left on his contract still, but his first year was a success, and most of the decisions he made went well. So hopefully that can continue, and whoever he brings in fits the mold. And of course, we haven't even mentioned it, there was the rugby union talk as well, weren't they? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it'll be Owen Farrell or anybody like that if it is a rugby union player, but that'll be a left field call because they've got to change code and learn all the new rules and the ruck and everything like that. But the Rovers are interested in that market, and it's been interesting because I know Willie's been, he mentioned it to one of my last interviews with him. He mentioned about going to different sports and different organisations and learning the trade of other managers and coaches. And I know he was with a few rugby union clubs as well, so he'd made contacts all over, and he's of course brought in, what's his name, from South Sydney, is it Brian? In store, something like that.
Well, it's not been officially announced yet, has it? But
he has on his LinkedIn. I saw
LinkedIn. Yeah. So Brian Stowe, he's what, football manager now at Rovers. Coming over from the Rabbitohs. I think his brother of what's his name? The stadium manager.
Some of our managers, yeah.
Yeah. So he's obviously overseeing football operations at Old Kingston Rovers now. Nothing officially announced by the club, but obviously they're strengthening the off-field structure. So it's interesting to see that they're getting the house in order in that respect. And I suppose it's an area of the club that's needed strengthening, because there's been quite a few, you know, not a lot of people doing quite a lot of work. And it's another example of Neil Hudgill, the board, backing Willie Peters and backing the off-field matters, because it is so important that we get the structure right, because ultimately that's where things happen on the pitch eventually.
Yeah, it's exciting. Of course, I know you covered it and stuff like that a few months back, but Rovers have done so much, but they've still got so much work to do, and they know they have, and they're in that A-grade licence now for the IMG. So, yeah, they've done the groundwork. Now it's time to build the rest. So they can only get better from here off the field, because like some of the names we've mentioned, they know how to build a business, and it's not just being a rugby league club anymore, is it? It's a full business, Old Kingston Rovers, and it's growing every single month, it seems now. So yeah, long may that continue. And of course, the major talking points for us guys and the fans and people who go in the stands is what happens on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday or Sunday. But off the field, it's been good to see the development, and long may that continue.
Yeah, you've got to speak to him on quite regularly, Joe. Willie Peters, first season, obviously, first year of a three-year deal. What have you made of Willie Peters and how he's conducted himself and just how he is as a bloke and how he comes across?
Yeah, I sound like I'm going to kiss his ass now, don't I, saying all these nice things. Honestly, mate, when I went to go meet him in October 2022, he got into the country really early, and I've still got the message in the group chat with the lads. I said, I don't know if he'll win something with his club, but he's going to change it. I just knew from the moment I met him, he was so switched on, and I remember going to Craven Park thinking there's going to be so much media there, and then the media guys at Rovers said, it's only you and Callender who've turned up, and I was like, right, okay. Bonus for me, because I got a proper in-depth chat with him for about an hour and a half. We spoke about every single player. He's so methodical about rugby league. You know, he knew the British game inside and out. He knew about Rovers from seasons gone by. And we spoke about even players from Australia who might have only come over and played a few games. He knew they'd played for Rovers. So he's a very rugby league focused bloke, and yeah, do you know what? He's, I know we'll speak probably about my reporting soon, but he was great to work with. Of course, it helps Rovers being really good last season and me having to write a lot more positives than probably James O'Brien got to do a few years back when he started in the job. But yeah, Willie's a great bloke. He was great with me when the redundancy happened and everything like that, and he's always been helpful. You know, I've helped him, he's helped me with little transfer details here if I've done something for him and that, and he was a good bloke to work with. And yeah, a lot of the players was as well, you know. Of course, you sometimes have your disputes and they won't agree with certain things, you're right, but that's just part and parcel of the job. But from a working point of view, to say it was his first year as a coach, the way Willie handled not just all that, but the media, in fact, proclaimed himself really well, and I know he enjoys doing it, and he likes speaking to the press. He's a good bloke to do it. He likes speaking about the game. And yeah, it was Nice fella. And I do hope, of course, from a selfish point of view and being a Rovers fan, that he wins something. But I hope so for him as well, because I knew after about 2 months, he was fully bought into this club. And you only have to look at some of the stories that have gone out on loads of outlets that he loves. He spent Christmas over here. He loves Hull. He loves Rovers. And I think his whole family do and his kids do as well. And I think that helps as well, because he's trying to build that culture of people who are coming over, living near Hull, living in the city. He wants to build that one club feel from the roots right up to the top, and he's the head of that, isn't he? So he needs to be happy, and I know he is, and he was a good bloke to work with, yeah.
Yeah, which leads me on to the next question, Joe. He did so well in year one. Is he under a bit of pressure to perform just as well in year two now?
Yeah, absolutely. It's his major signings as well now. Kenny Dowell, Kane Lynette there with Sheens and Tony signings. These players like Kalepi Taganoa, Nala Vald, Petr Hicku, Tyro May, Butterworth away, AJ Wallace, I know they're for the future, but they're his signings now. He's building his team. They've spent money. They're probably spending more on the cap. There's bigger expectations. There's bigger ambitions. So there's bigger pressure. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Can he handle it? Of course they can. You get dragged in, don't you, to every season thinking, could it be this team's year? I think if you just focus on yourself, and Rovers have set that platform now, but the only way is up. You can't be back in the doldrums of 9th to 10th, and I don't think there will be. But yeah, there is more pressure. There is as a coach, there is every coach. You look at people like Tony Smith, like Ian Watson, they're probably in it from the pump because of what FC and Huddersfield did last season. You look at some other coaches, that Craig Lingard and that coming in with Danny Maguire, they might have a bit more time, but I think every coach has pressure on him, and Willie Peters is no different. And yeah, he wants to win trophies. He said that recently, and the pressure's on him, but hopefully he can thrive. And I don't think if Rovers have not the best start, he's not going to be calling for his head, because he's got plenty of years left on his contract, and it's definitely a long-term project that is going to be the Willie Peters project. But yeah, I think they've got to hit the ground running these new signings as well, especially because obviously he's chopped and changed. He's got rid of the likes of Reece Kennedy, hasn't he, to bring in Jar Whitbread. So players like that, I think, have got more pressure on them than the likes of Anar Lavald, who came in as a free transfer, if you want to call it.
And I think what stood out for me about Willie Peters and maybe the leadership group at the club as well was how they responded to the Challenge Cup final defeat.
Yeah.
Rovers gone by, quite easily, heads would have gone down. The season would have petered out. And to be fair, as supporters, Joe, we'd have probably accepted that. We'd have probably gone, do you know what? Fair enough. We've got Challenge Cup final. We should have probably won it, but we didn't. We'll go again next year. And I think a big thing has been about not just raising the aspirations of the players and people at the club, but the supporters' aspirations and expectations as well. And I think as a club and as a supporter base, we're rising as one. We expect more. We'll always give the players a pat on the back and we'll always cheer them on. But our expectations have risen, and I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think for too long we've accepted mediocre rugby league. We've accepted players just doing enough. And now we've got a coach in charge, and we've got a board in place, and we've got an owner who wants more, and we should expect more. And I think that end of the season was the defeat to Wigan in the semi-final of the playoffs was a bitter pill to swallow. Yeah. But that run to there just give me enough hope to go, do you know what? I think we are really onto something here, and I'm really excited for this season now.
I think there's no excuses as well. Even when there was the injury plague and that got beat a few times, he was still going in and saying, look, this ain't good enough. This isn't the standard that we want. And I think after the Challenge Cup final defeat, you go to St. Helens the week after. And it was one of the hardest, that St. Helens game, obviously Wembley was atrocious to work in, but the St. Helens game was so hard because you're doing your opinion pieces and you're thinking, have they gone? Yeah. But then you're like, no, they've got beat 32-10, whatever it was at St. Helens. It was chucking it down with rain. 6 days after Wembley, they obviously picked up a few injuries and rested a few after that. And I honestly was driving home, and I'd gone with the Rovers media team that game because we were car sharing, and I was like, you know what? I think that could be it for this season. I was quite negative. Yeah. And then the way they came back, and it was kind of like, right, that's gone now. Lee are going to do, they've celebrated, they've won, it was heartbreaking, but you've got to get back on the horse. And to win 7-8 on the bounce, yeah, that's resilience, isn't it? And to get these new players in, and, Schneider was a revelation at times. It really worked well. And like you said, Chris, it did for me. It thought, you know what, it's not a flash in the pan, this. Yeah. It's not just getting to Wembley, a ride or die, and then you kind of bottle it in the Super League and you are away. We had a day out in London, didn't we? There was pissed off they got beat by Lee, and then there was even more that they did that showing at Wigan. And I think you only have to look at Mikey at the end in the middle, when they went over to the fans, gutted inside that, yeah, they've been a bit humiliated, aren't they, by Wigan, and they hated it. And I know for a fact a few of the players, the likes of Elliot Minchelli, it was already, right, yeah, it's the off season now, we already can't wait for round one because that want the whole KR way. And it'll take time, they're not perfect, they've still got a lot of stuff to improve on, but how refreshing is it to be coming in Challenge Cup finalists? Of course, we'd like to be winners, being in fourth place. Yeah, there's more pressure, but we'd rather have that, wouldn't we, then going, oh, we finished 10th again last season. Yeah, we had the odd result against Wigan and beat other few times, whatever. But it's so nice now to be challenging and people see, even like seeing other fans tipping Rovers to finish in the top six. That never happened. And I know there's a bigger picture than that, but there's a bigger prize on OKR's head now, and they've got to rise and, you know, go that next step further. And I think they will with a calibre of players. I don't think they've got as much depth as they probably did at the start of last season, but I think they've got a much better team personally.
Yeah, and just one last thing before we move on to ins and outs. I mean, a player who was so integral to that culture change and that change in mentality, Sean Kenny-Dowell. I mean, the amount of times he seemed to get the squad by the scruff of the neck and shake him into shape. And you know, a great lieutenant for Willie Peters to have in the changing room. And do you know what? Elliot Minchella's been named as captain for 2024. I think he'll have learnt a lot from FKD. And I don't see it as a backward step. I think he's been moulded and he's seen what Sean Kenny-Dowell can do. But Elliot Minchella will shape it his way. But Sean Kenny-Dowell, I mean, how good was he last season? Not on the pitch, not just on the pitch, but what he did off it and how he got that group of players together.
Yeah, just a total leader. And I think, you know what, from a media point of view, you know, I went to Tenerife, didn't I, with Rovers, and you go into Craven Park to get some interviews and that, and rightly so, a lot of players are a bit hesitant and they might not speak to you because, you know, you're the reporter and you're the guy who gets to slag them off when they get beat. But Kenny-Dowell, he'd shout in his rough New Zealand accent, you know, Joey or whatever, and he'd say, do you want an interview? He always was up for a chat. He'd help you there any way you could. And yeah, you only have to speak to anybody, don't you? Any side of the pond. You go back to his days at the Roosters, what he did for Newcastle Knights in their transition period, from what he did, not probably in his first season at Old Kingston Rovers, but the way he rose above that adversity, turned into a centre. You know, he came over as a bit of a winger, didn't he, under Tony? But yeah, he's one of OKR's greats. I know, and that's what it killed me as well, not just to lose a Challenge Cup final and not just to, you know, not watch it with my mates or my family, but not to see him lift it. Because I thought if there's any captain who deserves to emulate what Roger did, you know, 40-odd years ago, it was that guy. But he's still in the country. He's one of the coaches, isn't he? I don't think his official tag is an assistant coach, but he's doing a bit with the first team every single day. He's doing the pathways. He's learning on the job. It's great to have him around because he bleeds red and white, just like the new captain does, Elliot Minchella. You know, probably the closest thing that Bradford's ever going to get to East Hull, because he's moved into the area. Sand, I think he's here till 2027 at least. And he's just one of them players who's just got better and better at Hull Kingston Rovers. And yeah, he's passed on the torch to him and he'll learnt a lot. And there'll be big expectations to Elliot now. But I think he proved last year, didn't he? He's just key to this Hull Kingston Rovers side. And you go back to Jordan Abdul, if maybe we didn't have a 13 like Elliot Minchella, could he have moved into that role? And he started that loose forward, didn't he, for FC and a few years back. But I think that was probably another reason why Abdul wanting this is going to be in the 17, because they had such a solid 13 who can play 80 minutes every week. You look at the 13s across the Super League, not many of them can play full 80 minutes week in, week out. We're lucky that we have, and we're lucky that it's probably our captain, and he was the obvious choice for me, and wish him the best of luck. But yeah, Skid's absolute legend on and off the field. Glad to see him sticking around, and I know he'll play a massive, massive part, not just with the full team, but I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do with the young lads. Young Louis Gorman, another good bloke to work with from the media, really good talker for such a young kid. He's got a bright future. I know he's tipped very highly by Willie and the coaching staff. He's a centre winger, same as Skids, so it'll be interesting to see what he can learn from him this season as well. He's one to watch for me in the long run, not putting too much pressure on him, but yeah, Sean Kenny-Dowell, great player, great bloke.
Yeah, ins and outs, Joe. I mean, outs, Jack Walker, Reece Kennedy, Sam Wood, Louis Johnson, Ethan Ryan, Rowan Milnes, Jimmy Kynehorst, Brad Schneider, obviously, he retired. Sean Kennedy-Dowell, Kane Lynette, both retired. But when you look at the ins, Petr Hicko, Oliver Gildart, Niall Evels, Tyrone May, Jai Whitbread, Alexi Tanganoa, Reece Butterworth, AJ Wallace, Neil Tshombe. Is it Tshombe?
I say Tshombe.
Tshombe.
Yeah.
I mean, if I put them two lists next to each other, do you think we're stronger? Do you think we're weaker? Do you think we're on par? Would you like to see a couple more additions?
Yeah, I've mentioned it a few times, and I'd like to see a couple more additions. But I think we are stronger in a sense, because I feel like Lynette, he looked tired, didn't he, at the end of last season. And I was very, I kind of not called it. I don't want to say I predicted it, but I was very, you know, thought, you know, this could be the end here. And now at that Wigan game, he looked like he'd just gone, didn't he? And he admitted that when he was on the podcast for you. It was a great listen. Yeah. He said, you know, and do you know what? Fair play to him, because he could have rode out another year on big money and took the mick a little bit, and he didn't want to do that. So best of luck to him. I think he's coaching in the Mackay area. Yeah, I think we're stronger individually. Collectively, you've got to start again, because you're losing some big names. You're losing, I know Reece Kennedy want the most amazing prop fall for Rovers, but you've got a new middle in there, so that middle unit started again. You're losing two massive leaders on that left edge. So Ryan Hall's the last man standing, and that veteran partner, trio, we've only got one left now, so it'll be interesting to see who moves on to the left. Now, I'd imagine it'll be Gildart and Tanganoa, won't it? So it's probably going to be two new signings. So yeah, I think like for like, we're stronger. But it'll be interesting to see if them leaders can be replaced, because they've got to be, because, you know, they both did wonders, especially Sean. He rolled the years back, didn't he, at the middle and back end of the season. So I'm going to be interested. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it is a bit of a new look team. You know, I'm sure we'll do our strongest 17 soon, but there has been a bit of a changeover. But you've still got that core span there in my eyes, like your Mikeys, your Matt Parcells, your Elliot Minchellas, your Jez Litton. So there is still that there. And if the lads around them can gel quickly and that new look span, we'd probably Petr Hicko out the back, and Tyrone May in the halves, so Mikey can gel quickly with Matt Parcells at starting hooker. It's exciting. There's a bit more pace as well in this Rovers side now, with the likes of the Valds and the Gildart, which I think has been missing from this team for so long. We've had the power, we've had the strike force, but we haven't had much pace, have we? We've only had Lewis Senior on the wing when he gets an interception, or Jack Walker when he came in for that short spell. I think how fast this play has been, Mikey, hasn't it, for the past few years? So it'll be good to see Niall Evels and Gildart coming, because they've got pace to them.
Yeah, and that was probably, maybe not one of the criticisms, but one of the weaknesses highlighted last season, wasn't it? The lack of pace in the side. You know, other than Mikey, we did seem, you know, not able to break the line. We didn't seem to be able to make yards in broken play. So it is going to be interesting to see how Niall Evels gets on. Oliver Gildart. I mean, you look at these players: Petr Hicko, Oliver Gildart, Niall Evels, Tyrone May. You know, these are experienced players who have played at the highest level of rugby league. So when you look at the outs and some of the ins, you know, these are better on paper players.
Yeah.
And who have gone out, so it is going to be interesting. But it's that old age old problem, isn't it, Joe? We need to get these players out regularly.
Did the gel, yeah, as well. And that, yeah, like you said there, you've got a grand final winner in the NRL, you've got a grand final winner in Super League, you've got England internationals in Evels and Gildart, a Lance Todd Trophy winner in Niall Evels, Tanganoa, who's, I know he had his injury problems last season, but he's been punching above his weight, hasn't he, at Wakefield. You only have to look at what he did to Mikey on the final day of the season to prove what he's going to add to all Kingston Rovers. He's got pace, strength, and I think if you get him crashing onto one of Taro May's short balls or kicking game, you know, there's a tactic there that's going to work wonders for Rovers. And yeah, the players they're bringing in, they've got Neil Tshombe, who's an England Academy international, who probably won't play at all next season, but he's one for the future. Reece Butterworth, who apparently is doing really well in training, Dewsbury's captain last season, in their League One winning season, who has been tipped to do great things, and he was League One player of the season as well, wasn't he? So they're bringing in players who aren't just two-bit players, are they? They're bringing in players who have been there and done it or have got bright futures ahead of them. And I think that's a recipe for success. And of course, you've still got the young kids who are at Rovers, like Louis Gorman, Connor Barley, Phoenix. And I think Zach Fishwick, you know, by standards last season, probably wasn't where he needed to be. Didn't play at all for the first team. And you look at some of the photos Rovers have been putting on recently. Looks like he's shed a lot of weight. Again, not going to be in the starting 17, but he'll probably go out to Fev. I'd like to see him go to Featherstone, Zach, get some game time under his belt, same as Louis Gorman. So they've got a good mix, Rovers, but they do need one or two more players just to cover certain areas. I think if I was Willie, I'd get a fair choice half-back. I'd go for a winger. There's not many on the market. Is the Joe Bear just springs to mind, but you don't know what the disciplinary reasoning for him leaving Salford was, and I don't even think it's been announced by Salford yet. But obviously, Joe Bear just probably is on the market. And then barring that, you're scraping the barrel, aren't you, a bit? And I know that's what Willie won't want to do. We won't just want to see the first man available and go, come on, we'll just get him in. It's got to be the right fit. It's got to be the right player. They've got to want to graft, they've got to want to play the UKR way, and they've got to want to win trophies as well, and sometimes they're hard to find. But you know, I'm happy with the squad as such, but you know, I'd like mentioned so many times, one or two more additions will please me, hopefully come February 15th, whenever it is, when we go over to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that the thing is that there is no need to panic right now. We saw it last season.
No.
Transfers were happening February, March, April, you know, deals were being made, players were in and out. So I think the Willie Peters and the guys at Old Kingston Rovers will play a bit of a longer game on this, unless they have already got somebody lined up, yeah, a ready-made replacement for Jordan. But, you know, I think they deliberately kept some space on the salary cap to give them that room to manoeuvre if and when they needed to. So I don't think they'll panic just yet. And as much as I think they might have somebody lined up, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't either. And then see if what happens, you know, in the early rounds of Super League, to see what happens in the first couple of months of the season and see what they need and see what's out and about. So,
yeah, that's the thing as well, because every other club's in the same boat, aren't they? There's going to be, you look at like Wigan, they've got probably going to have about 7-8 first teamers sat on the sidelines every week because of their depth. You've got teams around the country who aren't going to be starting certain players at the right fit. It maybe aren't worked out. And then that's where players start to move. Don't they? Look at all the mid-season transfers that happened. Rovers had plenty last season. We've mentioned Frankie Alt and Will Dagger, players like that. If we'd have said 12 months ago that they're going to be gone within 3 months, you'd have laughed, wouldn't you? But rugby's a funny game. Sport's a funny old thing, isn't it, with transfers. People just spring out of everywhere and anywhere. And yeah, let's just wait and see. I won't be surprised if there's some in the next week or so, but in 4 weeks, if nothing's happened, I won't be panicking, and you know, there'll be a reason for it, and we'll see where we're at squad wise in a few weeks, maybe months' time.
So don't tell me, Joe, you're not tapping up all your old sources to try and get some inside info on this one.
Do you know what? I'm not actually. I've kind of, because obviously it's been a bit of a tough process, and I've kind of just kept out of it. I've been kind of like just ticking over, going back to being a fan, not trying. I didn't have many sources, to be honest with you. Anyhow, I was kind of, I want to call myself the middle guy who just found out everything a little bit earlier than others. But yeah, no, not really. I've just been kind of getting on with life and kind of been, you know what? It's been nice to be out of it and not being in that bubble, because as much as we love Old Kingston Rovers, and I love it, and you know, so glad to be back being a fan again, it was a bit draining sometimes doing it every single day. Is there anything? No, there's nothing. Right, okay. And then something might spring up at 8 o'clock. What was it before? It was like 10 o'clock. I found out someone had signed and you have to write a story on it and go, you know, so it was stuff like that where I was like, oh, do you know what? I miss being a fan and finding out stuff with everyone else going, well, yeah, that was a shock, wasn't it? But it was nice to break certain things, and it was good, you know, good while it lasted. Enjoyed it, had my highs, had my lows and that. But honestly, mate, can't wait to get back in that stand with my mates, my family and that, have a beer. It's been a long 2 years. It's been good, very good. But yeah, ready to be a fan again.
Yeah. And I suppose, I mean, yeah, obviously, maybe it didn't pan out the way you wanted it to, but it must have been good to get that insight and that inside knowledge in the club, and to be close to the coaching staff and the players to see what supporters don't always see. You know, you privileged position to be able to see, you know, get access and see reactions and raw emotion and see the things that we don't always see. So it must have been a, you know, bittersweet for you sometimes.
It was. Do you know what? I haven't really spoke about it to anyone, really, barring my mates and that. But so much positives to come out of doing the job, you know. Reporting on, you know, the team that I've grew up supporting, the team that I love, being able to cover them and on the biggest stage, being able to speak to the likes of Willie Peters on a daily basis, being in and around the club. But on the flip side, God, you know, I don't think many fans realised at the start how much I was a fan, because I feel like as time went on, and God, I remember that feeling when Schneider got that semi-final drop goal. My first thought was, I'm not going to be able to watch this with my mates. I'm going to have to work the final. Yeah. And do you know what? I think, you might not remember it. Do you remember when I did that piece about what Old Kingston Rovers means to me? No, do you remember it? Yeah. That was kind of like me saying to the fans, do you know what? I'd give anything to be stood with you guys. And it, you know what, mate? It killed me seeing my friends and my family and my granddad and that at Wembley. And as much as it was great to be in the press box at the National Stadium and doing stuff like that, doing the semi-final, you know, when everyone was singing Red Red Robin and seeing them tries going at the MKM, I was like, bloody hell, I'd love to be in there with a beer now. But yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Loved it. You know, I met some great people along the way. Most people were absolutely fantastic with me and enjoyed what I did and that. And it was a pleasure to do so. Willie was great. The players were great. But yeah, ready to be back being a fan now and, you know, moaning every single week, texting you when we've been beat and stuff like that. Back on the roller coaster of being a fan, I can let my emotions back out now because the bubbled up for a few years.
Yeah, anyone who had a word with you about anything that you wrote or wanted to happy about your opinion that you'd cast or what you'd reported?
Oh, do you know what? Not much. Me and Willie had this thing where it's like, if I didn't, you know, we'd speak about it, we'd ring up and chat about it, and it never heated or anything like that. And I think, Rovers were great last season, weren't they? I didn't have too much negative stuff to write about. There might have been the odd thing there and there where a player might not have agreed with a rating. But it was so tough, you know, that's the thing as well. I know there was a few mistakes here and there, but God, on a match day, you look at that Wakefield game, the last game, for instance, I've got to do a live blog. Rovers are scoring a try every single set. I've got to change my match report, write my match report for the Hoot, do a player rating, all my player ratings, get that up 5 minutes after the hooter, then go into that shed at the back of Wakefield and speak to Willie Peters and a player. I'd put five stories up within half an hour, so you kind of can't soak it in. And you don't realise until you watch the highlights after the game, oh, I've given Minchella a 7 there and I should have given him an 8, you know. And it kind of frustrated me sometimes when you get messages saying, oh, have you given this out? And I was like, look, it's just my opinion at the end of the day. I'm watching it from a different angle and things like that. So there were all the negatives. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't have too many disagreements. Maybe when there was a bit of a bad patch, maybe a player or two might have not liked what I'd have wrote, but that just comes with the territory. It's nothing personal. I'm sure it, hopefully, you know, it gets resolved and Rovers should have a reporter for a lab because they're a massive club, and FC should as well, you know, because it contributes so much to the city. And I do hope it gets resolved, and I hope someone gets to follow what I did, and, you know, it'll continue because it's a big part of the publicity of what Rovers and all get.
Yeah, and to be fair, mate, I'll echo what a lot of people have said. They just miss that daily bit of information, that take on something, that bit,
mate,
of
it, that's what I say. Even if it, I mean, don't get me wrong, I know every single piece wasn't scintillating, you know. I could ring Dean Adley up and he'd say the usual, oh yeah, we're training really well, but then you get a good story about it, he'd mention Zach Fishwick's doing really well and you'd put that out. And that's the thing, what I think people don't realise, you don't realise what you've got until it's gone. And I'm not saying I was unbelievable, but writing 5-6 stories a day in pre-season when there's nothing to write about, it's tough, but we got it out there. And it's such a shame because even now as a fan, you're only seeing one or two, and I know there's reasons for it and that, but there's not much Rover stuff going out at the minute, and it's obviously understandable why. And you don't realise, I know, in a world of hits and clicks and stuff like that, I know that's what everybody's on about now, but you don't realise how much you Rovers got, like click-wise and stuff like that. It was huge, and they're a massive, massive club, and rugby in Hull is absolutely huge, and it deserves as much publicity as it does. And I do hope it continues. You know, I hope someone gets to cover Hull and Rovers, whoever that may be. So let's just wait and see. But yeah, I know a lot. Even it was nice to get some messages from the players as well, and Willie saying they're disappointed because they love the coverage and that. So that was a nice way to end. Yeah. And yeah, enjoyed the ride, and not glad it's over as such. But I think come that first game, when I'm in the North Stand with all the Rovers fans at the derby, I think that'll be when it hits me and goes, you know what, I'm so glad I'm back as a fan.
Well, 10 pints deep.
Hopefully, yeah. Probably 20. I'll be that nervous. Because I didn't get nervous. That's the thing as well. You lose that. Yeah. The only time I kind of felt that emotion as a fan was the derby win, was the derby defeat, and was the semi and the final. But barring that, I mean, even when they would like beat Wigan at home and Saints at home, your first port of call is, right, I've got to write a match report about this. Yeah. So you do lose that. Like, I remember, I think they scored in the last minute against Saints, didn't they, to extend the lead. And I was like, God, I've got to go change my match report now. That's the first thing you're thinking. Yeah. Whereas I'm not thinking, we've scored and we've beat the world champions. So that's what I'm looking forward to getting back to now. You know, knowing my luck, they'll be absolutely rubbish again next year, won't they?
Yes, of Joe Appleyard.
Exactly. Then I'll just I'll go into the shadows forever.
Before we get your strongest 17 for next season, Joe, what are you going to be on to in 2024? Are you staying in the media or?
I've got a few, you know, irons in the fire at the moment. I am staying in the media as such, not massively though. So I'm going to be doing match day reports and the live updates on Twitter and speaking to Richard Horn at Doncaster. So just doing one day a week. The guys at Doncaster rang me and said, you know, we need someone to come over and help us out because they're in the championship now. They've recruited heavily. So I'm looking forward to doing that. When it don't clash with Rovers, I'll be there every Sunday at Doncaster in the championship. And then, yeah, just, you know, kind of just on a wing and a prayer at the minute, doing it, stuff here, there and everywhere. I'm not looking to go back into the industry full-time, trying to get a proper career, move forward and that. Obviously got a mortgage and married and stuff, so still only 26, still got plenty of years of work left in me, and I'm sure something will come up soon. So looking forward to starting with Doncaster, and then hopefully can get some at full time as well in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Craig Hall as well. He's down there.
Yeah, Craig Hall, Reece Lynn, Joe Lobadua, obviously, who was at FC Matangi. They've recruited really well. I'm looking forward to seeing how they go. Paulie, players like that. It'll be a good team.
Yeah, definitely. When you look back, Joe, 2023, what was your favourite moment?
Oh, that's Schneider. Schneider drop goal in the semi. Unbelievable. I was obviously in the I want in the main stand behind the sticks, but to see all the Rovers fans in front of me, I could see my mates and that with our flag in the stand where all the main fans were behind the sticks, and that was just a great moment. You know, it was great to see the players just be absolutely buzzing with the fans, and then I remember the first thing they said was, we haven't won anything yet, and I was like, right, we're in the zone here. Yeah, that was absolutely great to cover. To watch Rovers put 40 past Hull at the MKM, obviously derby and that, it's massive anyhow, but I just think because it was Tony's first derby with Willie and there was loads of talk, weren't they, and Hull were on a bit of a downward spiral, and just the way how easy it was, that was great to report on, and was great to lead the conference there at the bottom of the West Stand. That was fantastic. Some absolutely wonderful moments. But I think that Schneider drop goal absolutely tops it for me. That was probably one of the best drop goals I've ever seen. I don't think for drama, you probably won't get any better than that, will you?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a very special moment. And we then suffered drop goal heartbreak not more long after as well. I mean, that is, I don't know, sums up the season for Rovers, wasn't it? I mean, there's so many great moments, so many real positive, real exciting, and there's so much heartbreak as well. It was a...
They'll never do that set leading up to Schneider's failed drop goal. They'll never do a set like that ever again. Right. They didn't do that set. I know probably everyone spoke about it, and I don't want to go over the past and bring up that heartbreak again, but I've only watched it back once. They've never done a set like that ever. I think they made about 6 metres, and he should have just done a box kick in the corner and defended, but that's all here saying it. And if we'd have been playing, it might have been a different story. But yeah, don't think I'll get over that anytime soon. We just have to get back there in 7-8 months and do the business, don't we?
Exactly, should have, would have, could have. Okay, then, Joe, hit me with your strongest 17 for 2024.
All right, Petr Hickel at fullback, a right side of Nala Valds and Tom Opacek, a left side outside backs, Oliver Gildart and Ryan Hall, Tyrone May and Mikey Lewis in the halves. Starting forwards, prop forwards, I'll go Jesse Sue and George King, obviously Matt Parcell in the middle at hooker, and then back rowers, Kalepi Tanganoa and James Batchelor, skipper Minchella at 13. Then on the bench, Jez, Whitbread, Luckley and Hadley.
Wow. It's almost like you're naming the 2024 Super League Dream Team there.
Really is. Really is. And we haven't put these mystery new signings in yet, have we? Meakin and Tom Jono, if that was there, the people.
Well, the rumour mill will be in full swing. Won't it? I mean, you can't argue with that lineup, can you? And what you would say, it's a big year for some of the players Not new recruits, but the players who were here last season, not least the ones who are out of contract. We don't know what's going to happen with Ryan Hall, whether he's going to go another season. Louis Senior, Matty Starting, Yusuf Hiding, Matty Parcells, Sam Luckley, Reece Butterworth, he's got an option to extend,
yeah.
But he's on a one-year deal. So it's a big year for some of the current players, isn't it, who might be looking to stake a claim for at least another contract.
I am, yeah, there's Matty Staunton there as well, and by all accounts, he's ripping it up in training, you know, really doing really well. So he'll be pushing as well. So he'd probably be between that Luckley, Hadley, and Staunton in it for that, them two, yeah. You know, only two can fit in there, and probably the other will be 18th man. Yeah, I think if Luckley and Staunton have a good start, you know, in the first 3-4 months, I'd definitely be extending them. British props don't come around often, that they can compete at Super League level for a long, long time. So I'd be tying them down. I honestly think Ryan Hall and Matt Parcell will be down to what they want to do. And their standards don't drop, do they? I think if they want to call it a day, they'll call it a day. If they want to go one more year, Willie will offer them what. I think they both said it in the media. I remember part of Sports Parcell back in May, and he was like, right, yeah, I don't think I'll go for much longer. And I was like, well, you're only 31. What are you on about? But I think he wants to be like a civil engineer back home. But again, rugby, he's on decent money, isn't he, at Rovers? He's in his 31 now, still doing the business. I think it'll be a case of if him and Ryan all want to go around again, they will do. And then, yeah, you've got the likes of Louis Senior, who I think he's going to struggle, isn't he, probably to get game time again. I don't know where it's going to come from for me if everybody's fit. It's 50-50 on there. And again, like you mentioned, there's a lot of wingers off contract next season, some big names, and like the likes of Tom Johnson. And if he brings him in, then he's got Neil Tuchambe. So you don't want to have too many players in one position. You've got the young kids who we've already mentioned, the homegrown lads. So yeah, everyone's fighting for a contract. And I think what I like about Willie as well is he's not afraid to offer big contracts to the players who are off contracts, the likes of James Batchelor, you know, Jez, Mikey. He's keeping the young quality players here for a long, long time, and that base of Hull Kingston Rovers is here for, you know, for the foreseeable future, isn't it? So that's a bonus. Won't be surprised to see other players who are still on contract getting new deals. Buzzing that Tom Opacek's agreed to stay until the end of 2025. I think he's very underrated. I know when he signed, people thought, you know, he's going to be scoring 30 tries a season and he's going to be absolutely amazing. But the way he shored up that defence, I know they conceded a few lacklustre tries at certain times, but that's rugby league for you. I think he'll grow better now he's secured his future. And yeah, the likes of James Batchelor settled in now. He was outstanding, obviously suffered a really bad head knock, didn't he, at Magic, came back. I think he'll grow from strength to strength, another one who could have been captain. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the new lads. Kalepi Taganoa, if he can stay fit, he's the one for me. I've loved him at Wakefield. I've always thought he was a big fish in a pond that was getting smaller and smaller, wasn't it? And yeah, really, really exciting. It's that time now, isn't it, where pre-seasons, the games aren't far away, Rovers are going to Tenerife soon, stuff's happening on and off the field, and you get that bug back, don't you? And I think it helps the fact that the derby's the first game of the season. I think that's a perfect, perfect shout, and already looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and very finally, Joe, not just on the pitch where we've had ins and outs in the coaching setup as well. Dan Maguire's departed to join Cass. Craig Lynyard at Cass, he's joining as their assistant. And former Robin Danny Ward coming in. I mean, great calibre, isn't he? He's got great experience as head coach. A lot of supporters frustrated when Danny Maguire, not quite sure why he departed or how it came about. But when you look at the replacement, I mean, it's a good bit of business.
It is. And do you know what? I've been asked by so many people, what was it when the Maguire saga was going on? What's happening? What's happening? Honestly, one of the only things that I know you should do as a journalist, but I knew it was all in-house. I wasn't going to get much. Kind of just backed away and just let the club do the thing. There was more important things for me to be focusing on, obviously, with the game and with the semi-final coming up. So it was a shame. You know, Danny was great to work with. When Tony got sacked, and me, it was literally just me, James O'Brien, covering Rovers for that last 7-8 games of 2022. Magsy was great. He was a really nice bloke to work with. Loved all Kingston Rovers. Probably didn't want to leave, you know. We'll never know the full story. But like we've spoke about so many times, Willie will get rid of a big name, and then you know a big name's going to be coming in. Danny Ward, he's a great coach. Didn't speak to him because obviously when he'd signed, it was time for me to leave my post. But apparently he's been great with his knowledge. You know, there was a reason why he did what he did with London. He's been really good down south in rugby union, and he was going to stay as the cast job. It's interesting that obviously he turned down the cast head coach role, came to Rovers. Maguire got turned down the head coach role, went as their assistant, and Lingard's coming. It was strange few weeks, wasn't it, at Weldon Road and Craven Park. But yeah, and then there's the likes of Reece Lovegrove's coming, hasn't he, as well, with the academy. So they've brought in, it's a bit of a new, fresh coaching staff in it as well. Sean Kenny-Dalf fits into that bracket. Then you've got the mainstays there, like, you know, Dave Hodgson, who's been there nearly like 11 years now as a coach. Even when I was in the academy in 2015, he was our coach then. So he's been in the backroom staff for donkey's years now. Not as much as Bonesy, but that'll take some beating. but yeah, so it's exciting times. This is Willie Peters' second year, so there's more pressure. We've spoke about it, but this is his coaching staff now. This is his playing squad. So yeah, best of luck to him, and I think that there's some promise there for Rovers. Will it be as exciting as that roller coaster we had last season? Hopefully we can get a little bit higher. But yeah, it's going to be a great Super League as well. You know, I know we say it every season, but there's some good teams, and I also think there's some very poor teams as well, and Rovers don't fit into that bracket for me. So there's no reason why they can't get to the last stages, hopefully the final, and hopefully win it in the Challenge Cup. And I think playoffs is a bit of a must, personally. I think if you want to be one of the big boys, you've got to perform like one of the big boys now, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely. And pre-season is well underway now. We've hit January. The countdown's on to the pre-season friendlies, and that first game of the season against that lot will come round very quickly. We haven't even had a chance, Joe, to talk about the rest of the Super League, so maybe that might be one for a future podcast. Definitely. You're always welcome on the Robin Pod, Joe, and it'd be great to see you back on the terraces at HU9, cheering on the boys. Going to be a fantastic season, I think, for the Robins. I think they've put some things in place which are going to stand us in really good stead for 2024. So just hope and praying that we finally get some silverware, we finally get to see the players lift something, because we've had our appetite whetted, haven't we? And it's just time to deliver now for me. I think we're getting to the point where we need to seal the deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we can't, I don't want to be negative here, but in my opinion, the way they've got built the foundations, the coaching staff, the board, what the plans for what they want to do with the club, the team, everything. If they can't do anything in this era, this next 5-10 years, whatever it's going to be, hopefully this Willie Peters era happens for a long, long time, then I can't see when it's ever going to happen. You know, to be glass half full, but I just think seeing it from the inner sanctum, what they're doing and what they want and the standards they're setting, this is the time now. But it's so tough, of course, and it's not like football where you can go for 6-7 trophies in a season. Not many people bother about the League Leaders Shield. So you've got that game at Wembley and that game at Old Trafford to lift it, haven't you? But can this team do it? Of course they can. They've got bigger prize on their head, like we've said. But, you know, I think that'll bring the best out of them. They like adversity. They like to be written off. They like to be challenged. And I think there will be a lot. And, yeah, roll on the season now. Great that everything's going to be on telly. You know, as much rugby as we want. That's what we've been dying out for. Going to be great with NRL starting again soon. It's, you know, best time of the year.
Yeah, the Robins are back. This has been the first Robin Pod of 2024. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope to get you on the podcast as we go out through the season, because I know there's so many people who would love to hear from you again. And it is like getting the band back together, isn't it? You know, it's been a few years, but it's great to have you back on.
It is. Everyone's talking about Oasis being the biggest reunion of 2024, but I think we brought that this evening in on Kingswood, haven't we, me and you? So, exactly. Yeah. No, it's been great, mate. Honestly, loved it. You know, it seems a donkey's years ago now since we started that podcast. I remember our first Heritage cast with Michael Dobson during the COVID years and that. It was, you know, been absolutely great. And even while I've been off, you know, some of the guests you've got on, absolutely loved listening and that. It's been nice to listen to the fans and that, the regulars, you know, really enjoyed it. And yeah, nice to be speaking about the Robins again, and bring on the friendlies, and bring on when 5,000 of us go over West Side in a month or so. Can't wait.
Bring it on. This is the Robin Pod, powered by Budget Size Auto Centre, the only car specialist supported by club officials, supporters and players of Hull Kingston Rovers. But for now, live, love, laugh and be happy.